that I want you to think about before we do this church-wide outreach. I want you to think about, how did God reach your soul? How did you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? My friends, if we want this community for the Lord, we need to get stirred up. But in order to get stirred up, we must think upon these things. Amen? Well, how are you going to do that, Pastor? Well, write it down. Write down your testimony. Write down your salvation story. Write it down. Write down that moment that God helped you pass the path of a godly man or a godly woman that taught you truth from the Word of God. Write it down. That's your story. That's your testimony. Peter understood that believers forget, and he writes specifically, putting you in remembrance. You say, Pastor, why? I guess I look at it this way. Sometimes when we spiritually get sleepy, the truth becomes like an alarm clock. It wakes us up, and it puts us into remembering, because this is what our memory does. It drifts away. But if you write it down, you'll be reminded. You know what I like doing? When I get these surprises from my wife, she writes these little notes, and she puts them in the visor. I probably shouldn't tell y'all, because that way y'all don't look in my visors, amen? But she puts them in the visors, and she tells me how much she loves me, or you know, all the wonderful, amazing things that I am, amen? I'm joking. But she lets me know, amen? I know it's not true, but, you know, it builds me up. It builds my ego, at least. But these little notes of kindness, these notes of truth, it just stirs me up to want to love her even more. You follow me? Maybe when I used to go work at a secular job, and sometimes I would bring lunch to work, and I would open up my, it was not a backpack, it's a bag, of, you know, and I would open it up, and guess what? Somewhere in there was a little love note. And man, I'm going to tell you something. I could have had the worst boss ever with the most toxic agents ever, but none of that mattered. When I was able to read the little note of my love, because it stirred me up and it reminded me why I was doing what I was doing. You follow me? That's what this does. We need to understand, believers, we forget sometimes. Amen. This will remind us. God uses writing to preserve memory. Let me ask you something. Those of you that have children, do your children know what God has brought you through? You say, well, no. I mean, I've shared it with them, but if I were to ask, you know, kids forget everything, you know? Write it down. Give them that story of what God has done in your life, how he's changed it. Again, I don't know. I can't speak in specifics or details. All I can speak about specifics and details are about my life. But here's the truth. Write it down. I wish that the next generation of our kids looked up to our adults. I desire that. I don't think you're evil people or bad people. I know you. But they need to have those type of heroes instead of Taylor Swiftie or whatever her name is. Amen. Swiftly? I don't know what's her name. Amen. I'd rather, amen, being honest, amen. I'd rather our children, the next generation, look up to our Sunday school teachers. Well, Pastor, how's that going to happen? We have to write it down, parents. We have to point them at a direction of saying, look, these are the people you look up to. I'm going to tell you what happened in my childhood when I wanted to be like Mike and realized I wasn't going to make it like Mike, amen? And instead, I wanted to be more like Miguel, amen? Mano Miguel instead of Mike, amen? And the reality is Mano Miguel invested a lot in our lives. Guess who was knocking at my door trying to get me out of the bed? Mano Miguel. Not Mike. I was buying his Gatorades and his sneakers to make him rich. Not one time has he knocked on my door. Okay, get off. Okay. What has God brought you through that your children don't fully know about? What prayers were answered that were never recorded? Listen, if it's not preserved, it might not be passed on to the next generation. We need to do that. Here's my second point. If you're still with me, say amen. God uses writing to prepare leaders. God uses writing to prepare leaders. I want you to see Moses called unto who? Joshua. This is the same man in the book of Exodus that was fighting against the Amalekites. Okay? And said unto him in the sight of all of Israel, he puts him on Front Street, not on Tyler, but here in Israel, Front Street in Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord had sworn unto their fathers to give them. What's the land that he's talking about? Canaan, the promised land. And thou shalt cause them to what? Inherit it. Next one. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. Now you say, Pastor, why is that so important? Who was the one that won Joshua the battle? The Lord. It was in the might of the military of Israel. They were a new nation. I'm not saying they didn't have a desire to win. I'm not saying they didn't have the capabilities of winning, but I'm going to tell you something. Their dependence was on God, and God was the one that won them that battle. Why was this important for Moses to rehearse, to repeat, to remind Joshua? So that Joshua can go back to that day of the battle, and he can remember. He it is that doth go before thee. It's God that goes before us. And my friends, anything we do in life, let God go before us. Lead us. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be what? Dismayed. Moses, right here, he's publicly commissioning Joshua. And here's the thing. In that moment, Joshua was standing on written law. This is in the book of Exodus. Now we're in the book of what? Deuteronomy, dual law. He's standing on the law. He's standing on the word of God. And it's this moment that Joshua understood that where the courage was going to come from, it wasn't going to be from his emotions. It wasn't going to be from his heart. Oh, I can do it. That's a nice chant. But no, God can do it. He understood the written law. He understood that the man that was going to go before him was his God. The one that was going to bring the winning or the win in his life was going to be God. Because here's the thing. It was rooted in revelation. What do you mean, Pastor? It had already been recorded. It had already been rehearsed. In what book? In the book of Exodus. 2 Timothy chapter 3. But continue thou in the things which thou hast what? Learned. And has been what? Assured of. Knowing of whom thou hast what? Learned them from. He learned them from his grandmother and mother, right? This is young Timothy. But let me ask you something. How can you learn something if it's not written down? Next. And that from a child thou hast known holy what? Scriptures. Well, how can he have the holy scriptures if they were not written down? Which are able to make thee what? Wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ what? Jesus. Timothy knew scripture from the child, from a child, because the word of God had been preserved. And because it was preserved, it was the mother and the grandmother were able to teach him the holy scriptures. Well, guess what it produced in Timothy? Salvation. Spiritual stability. And guess what Timothy is? He's a pastor. He's a leader. Guess what Joshua became? A general. A leader. A chosen one from God. This is what we need to understand. God uses writing to prepare leaders. God raises someone after you. And can I tell you something? Would that person know what God has showed you? Joshua did. Timothy did. But what about the person coming right after you? Will they know what God has done in your life? Write it down. See, would they know what you stood for? I'm going to tell you something. Some of you have some Joshuas that are watching you. Some of you have some Timothys that are watching you. Think about software updates. If leadership doesn't transfer the data or data, guess what happens? The system crashes, right? You need data. I mean, you need that data, okay? Any updates. Guess what? The written truth is that generational data or data transfer. The written truth. How is it that we are Americans and we know our unalienable rights? Because of the Declaration of Independence. Amen? Because of the Bill of Rights, the preamble. We need to learn that we need to go to that preserved written word, those written documents. This is how we know who we are. And no one can lie to us. And no one can deceive us. Understand? No one can rewrite history, regardless of how bad they want to. But it's the written word that produces those type of leaders. And this generation, we need that. If God raises someone, can I tell you something? Pass down what God has done in your life. Write it down. See, I like this because Joshua didn't step into leadership guessing. Oh, I wonder what I'm going to do. It was written down. Here's a third point. God uses writing to produce continuity. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate what? Day and night. And thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good what? Success. How long are we supposed to do this day and night? Well, the point here says God uses writing to produce continuity. Well, here's the thing. What is continuity? It's to continue something without interruption over and over and over and over and over again. Okay? Just to simplify it. That's what the written word does. When we read the word of God, guess what it does? It creates a habit in me. Uninterrupted habit. I'm going to tell you something that we do, human nature, I guess. We can do things right, but it's almost like we're feeling our way around. And then we add these little like boundaries, or we add these little rules, and we don't know where they come from. They just feel good. Instead of going to the written form, the manuscript, the Bible, even though we don't understand it as well sometimes, but go to it to find out these rules, if they align with the what? The Word of God. We do this in marriages. We do this in church. We set up these rules, man-made rules. That's what legalism is. We add rules on top of the Word of God, and we create these traditions. But you know what we do elsewhere? In the homes. We do it in our marriages. We do it in our parenting. Let me just throw that and hopefully it sticks. Do it on purpose. What are you doing? On purpose, go to the written Word of God. Meditate therein day and night so you can find out and draw out the Word of God. Don't go by your emotion. Don't go by your heart. You say, Pastor, why? Because the heart is what? Deceitful. Why would I follow my heart and my emotions if they're going to lead me astray from the Word of God? Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I love her. Pastor, you don't understand. I love him. He's my husband. Okay, that's fair. But I'm telling you, love's not going to pay the bills. You got to be realistic here, man. You got to push that pride to the side. You got to push these emotions to the side and see what works. It's the Word of God that works. Amen. It's the Word of God that works. It's not how I feel or how my predecessors were or what people did and these preconceived ideas I have and what I think. Who cares what you think? Who cares what I think? What we should care is what God thinks and what God says in the Word of God. This book of the law shall not what? Out of thy mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein what? Day and night. That thou mayest to observe to do according. What does that mean? Simply put, obey. To the degree you obey the Word of God, to that degree will you be blessed. I don't make up this stuff. You're like, oh, that sounds catchy. No, no, no. It's Bible. I'm not that smart. Y'all know me. I am not that smart to come up with this stuff. It says that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. After the fact that you and I learn to observe to do according to all that is written therein. What is that? Obey. In marriage, obey what God says. In parenting, obey what God says. In church, obey what God says. And to the degree that we obey God's word, what God says, to that degree shall we be blessed. Shall we be prosperous and successful. Stop adding, including myself, what we think. That's legalistic. And I'm going to tell you what else it is. It's toxic. And it does not help anybody but yourself. If you were to come to a church where all we're worried about are rules, you can't come like this because you don't look like me. You can't come like this because you don't do what I do. My friends, that's toxic. The same way with marriage. If I think and I treat my wife in a condescending, demeaning way, that's toxic. If I treat my kids the same way with these rules, that's toxic. What does that mean? This is what it means. I'd rather my children, Haley, can you come up here, please? I think I'm going to embarrass you for a little bit. But you didn't see I said, Haley, come over here, girl. Now. You know, I'm not going to do it. Come on. Love you. I love you. But Haley, I could say, Haley, I want you to sit down. Okay, this is a rebel right here. No, I'm joking. But no, this is simple. But I'd rather Haley sit down because she loves me, not because she's afraid of me. Haley, sit down. She's got that Rivera blood in her. Sit down. Can you please sit down? That's different, yeah. Even if I intimidate, I know this is an illustration, we're having fun, but if I were to mistreat her and say, if you don't sit down, wait till we get home. Oh, she'll be sitting down outwardly, but inwardly, I'm standing up. Thank you, baby. Love you. This is the problem we do with relationships. Instead of following the written word of God, and instead of obeying to observe all things that are written in the word of God, we bring our own little rules because they make sense to us, I guess, maybe. And what we create is a church where once they hit 18, guess what they want to do? Now, I'm not trying to embarrass her or anything like that. I appreciate Harmony. I mean, sorry, Haley, you're the one. Haley, come into church, amen. How old are you? Love you, 19, amen. 19, going to be 20. See, I know. I appreciate it, Miss Sierra. I'm not trying to embarrass you. Miss Sierra, still coming to church. Is that what? Is a professional. Amen? Here's the thing. She could choose. She's an adult. To say, you know what? Forget this. All these rules, man. Why am I going to come here just to get beat up all the time? I'm not growing. All these boundaries, they're just choking me. But why is it that they're still here? You have to think about it. It's not that the parents are perfect. Probably her parents are perfect, amen? But I know her parents are not perfect, amen? I know that we're not perfect. My wife probably is, but I know I'm not. Here's what we've realized. When you train up a child in the way he should go, and he should not depart from it, you start understanding that discipline is not necessarily just spanking a kid when they don't know that they're doing something wrong, or putting rules when they don't know something's wrong. That's creating a breach. If you afflict them with pain and you didn't take the time to teach them, guess what that's going to create in them? Bitterness, resentment, because they don't understand why they're getting spanked, okay? Now, I don't think we do that here, but here's the thing. I don't know when was the last time, Haley? I don't know. I don't think Haley, she probably needed more spankings growing up. I don't know, amen? But we don't deal with her that way. We just, you know, sometimes Haley was the one that we were like, Haley, don't do that again. And guess what? She's like, yes, Dad. And then, of course, the tears, I mean, they broke me down, Brother Nickerson, the tears. I was like, man, all right, don't worry about it, girl. Amen? But no, not all size fit. Not all discipline fits. Some children are, all you have to do is just reprimand them. Tell them, hey, look, I know you didn't know. I know we didn't teach you not to run on top of the chairs at home. So I'm going to teach you when we get home how to sit down in church, how you're supposed to open up the hymn book, sit down, sing. We didn't teach her that, but you know what I was going to do if she's over there? She did. When she was climbing down those pews, and a lady in Huntington, an old grouch lady, amen, praise the Lord. We don't have them here in Texas, amen. They're in West Virginia. Love y'all in West Virginia. But she's running down, and they got so upset with her. And then I had to put them in, I just had to explain to her that she does have a dad for that, and it's my job to teach my child. And so I didn't apologize for what my child did. But that lady stayed there and was like, okay, what are you going to do? Of course, I was in the flesh now, John. You know, I was in the flesh. And I'm like, well, I will deal with it. That was the best answer I had. I'm going to deal with it. She's like, okay. Are you going to tell her to apologize to me? Man, she's just running on the... Well, okay. Miss Shante, the hood's coming out of me. Hold on. So, and I said, no, ma'am, I'm not going to tell my daughter to apologize to you. I'll apologize to you if I hurt you, or if I did something to get you upset, or some way or another I offended you. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to make my child, who doesn't know better, to apologize to you. She doesn't know the wrong that she did. By the way, as a parent, I told her, I don't know the wrong that I didn't know any wrong that she did to you, but I will deal with my daughter. And she's like, oh, okay. But here's the thing. Regardless of whether what she thought it was okay or not, it doesn't matter. I am not going to allow that pressure to determine or dictate how I'm going to raise my child. The Bible tells me to train up. Not just to spank them because they did something wrong. Not to spank them or punish them because they embarrassed me. By the way, my kids can't embarrass me, just so you know. I love my kids. But some people tend to come up with these rules or regulations. I'm using parenting, but marriage is the same way. Marriage is the same way. The Bible tells us what to do. And we choose to do the things that we want to do. My friends, listen. Don't add any extra rules to the Word of God. It's hard enough to find out what the Word of God is. So my suggestion to all of us is this. Learn the Bible. And none of us are perfect at it. We all still need to work on it. But learn the Bible. Learn to observe, to do according to all that is written therein. And we will be the better for it. And God uses writing to produce continuity. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. I don't know if God spoke to your heart, but